Hello and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. I am your host, Lebubule. The Stretch Podcast is a space where I share my thoughts on matters of personal transformation, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. My teachings are largely based on what I've learned over the years, what I've read, what I've observed, and my very own personal experiences. The podcast is also a space where I have conversations with people whose work and life experiences has inspired me and helped me grow tremendously. People who are not only experts in their fields, but have open hearts, generous spirits, and they are teachers in their own rights. People who I call perpetual students of life. Here's another episode of the Stretch Podcast.
Welcome to the Stretch Podcast, a listening experience for self-improvers and stretchers looking to master life.
Hey, dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebubule, your host, and another returnee, another guest who's returning by popular demand, Reverend T. Ma Sophia. And as usual, I will introduce her properly on the second segment of the intro, and I will tell you what we covered. And oh my God, OMG. But anyway, we'll wait until the second segment of the intro. For now, I just want to talk a little bit about Bongani Michael's episode last week, Black Men and Black Love. Never have we ever had such a huge response in terms of comments. I just wish that you had put it on a voice note, which is something we ask you all the time. Go to the website and put it on a voice note. But I'm going to read some of the comments that I saw that I just thought were so profound and just, you know, so apt in that for me, they told me that this kind of topic is necessary. It is a kind of topic that is now, that is in the now, you know, that everybody is, you know, wrestling with, because we are living in a changing world, aren't we? We are living in a world where the roles have been blurry for a long time, actually. We can easily say, yeah, no, they've been blurry in the past few years. Actually, they have been blurry for a while. You know, the roles of what a man does and what a woman does. And so I just want to read some of the comments that I just found super, super amazing. One is from Pumzile. Pumzile is a regular listener. Pumzile, my dear, voice note, Sisi, voice note. We'd love to hear your voice note, your voice. This is an audio format. This is a podcast. This is not a newsletter. You write to the newsletter, you voice note. I'm kidding. So here's what he says. Great interview. Loved Bongani's mind. Completely agree with Bongani on the importance of a family structure. I also agree with African men allowing themselves to step back and give space for women. But I am not in total agreement with his reasons. Yeah, of course, me too. That's why I sort of pushed back. I'm not in agreement with his reasons because his reasons are like so conceited, you know. They're like, yeah, mabaye pambi, so that leadership can just be hard for them. And I bet Bongani is laughing wherever he is. So yeah, I just thought that was such a nice comment. Another one from Miranda. Miranda is also another regular listener. She also is a podcast host. She and her fellow host, Vangile Makwakwa, have a podcast. I'm sure you know about it. If you don't know about it, well, I'm telling you about it. It's called Property Magicians, where they share all things property, from buying a home to investments to whatever it is that world is about. But it is an informative and a beautifully growing podcast. So you sort of want to follow it if that is your cup of tea. I mean, if property and investing in property is something that appeals to your heart, you want to listen to their podcast. And it's the first of its kind, or it's one of the few of its kind in the country. So they're doing pretty well. So Miranda says, yeah, we are maladjusted on both ends. I'm in strong agreement with the family unit. You see, something is happening there, you know, with the whole Black family unit. Because if you look at it, I mean, if you really, really think about it, when you look at other nations, especially here in South Africa, when you look at whites and coloreds and Indians, you find that the most fragmented in family structures is us black people. And again, I am not saying that there are no divorced Indians or no divorced whites or no single parents in those communities, but it is more pronounced in us. And there are more reasons. I mean, I don't want to say that it's superficial reasons such as, yeah, black men don't look after their kids. I know the reasons go deeper. They go back into history. They go back into how it is that we came to the cities and our work and the fact that we have no land. All those things. English, where are you today? English, okay. All those things contribute towards why a black family is the way it is right now, or why there is no black family. So I am not sitting here scraping the surface. I understand all that. But even understanding all that, we still have to find a way of figuring out how do we really get the family unit back together. You know what I'm saying? So that we don't sit in that thing, colonialism and apartheid, and then what, guys? And then we have to find a way of moving. And I know this sounds controversial in certain circles that, yeah, you know, you are on the move on brigade. But what else can we do? What other option is there? Because the other option is to dwell, you know, we dwell on the past, we dwell, everything we do, we link it back to the past, which there's nothing wrong with it, but you cannot keep doing that and think you'll progress. At some point, you have to choose. It is painful what happened to black people. It is excruciating. I don't think other nations or white people would ever understand what we are going through as black people. It is excruciating. But we still have to move on. Do you understand what I'm saying? We still have to find a way to move on. Because if we don't find it, who do we think should find it for us? Do we really think white people and the system or whatever it is that we blame will actually come and say, come, guys, really? Really? So yeah, I understand all that, but I am still saying that we have to find a way of moving forward. Let me see if I can read another comment. And once again, guys, we are a podcast. It's an audio medium, which means your voices. We want to hear your voices. We don't want to read. Hey, Dr. Miranda, we don't want to read. Okay, another comment, okay, Poppy is talking about the first part of the conversation on vaccination. All right, let me read this one from Mwatlodi. Beautiful conversation, both you and Bongani Michael are just brilliant. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mwatlodi. I met him in 2019 and fell in love with his mind. I love the idea of boys and girls dichotomy as a problem. Enlightening indeed. Enlightening indeed. I do think we need to rethink the whole matter of empowerment, as it is, in my view, limited in several ways. Our own embrace of everything Western, always of doing things, abandoning our African heritage, as no effort is made to modify it and adapt it and make it user-friendly and relevant to modern times. Thank you, Mwahlodi. Do you see? Now I had to read. Otherwise, we would have heard your voice, you know, and Tsepo would have played that beautiful music that they play when people are doing voice notes on podcasts. So I hope the message is clear. I wanted to talk about Bongani Michael's episode because never have we received such a lot of response. And this is just on the Podbean app. I received on my emails, my personal email, info@lebupule.co.za. A lot of people send me emails there. When I say personal, I don't mean it's me that always receives. So don't think you can access. Oh my God. I don't know how you guys put up with me. All right. I don't really have promos. What do I have? I don't have promos. The only thing I want to say, guys, is that I want you to please listen to other podcasts or other episodes that may not have topics that are immediately appealing to you. Why I want you to do that? Because that's how we grow. That's how we stretch. We don't stretch by getting to listen to the same people and the same topics over and over. I know there are topics that are always hot, like a topic on relationships, a topic on men, black men, because women are very interested in the psyche of men, the topic on money, the topics on self-development. I know those are hot. But there are other topics that are meant to stretch you and to grow you. One of the episodes that I really think it's a gem of a topic and it's a gem of information because of the depth of the guest is the one on episode 130 with Fidoz on the history of yoga. I really think you need to listen to that episode if you haven't. If you just skipped it because you're like, I don't know her. History of yoga, not interested. I think you want to be interested, especially us women who are now embracing yoga as a practice. I know a lot of women practice yoga. Maybe you want to listen to it. You will be so pleasantly surprised that yoga has its roots in Africa. Another episode that I think, you know, we could really, really gain from and we could listen to it again is the one with Ronald Ney. Episode 129, God's Code for Business. Gems and bars that he drops there. Things that you learn. So you grow by listening to things that are not your usual things. You don't grow by listening to someone confirming the 13 things that you know. That's church. All church does is to confirm what you know. You know, you go to church, just confirm that I'm still on the right track. Is this what I know? The moment a pastor brings in the 13th or the 14th thing that you don't know. What is he talking about? Just like a sabui. Oh my God. So the point is, let us not always listen to things that we know. Okay, I don't have a promo myself except for the usual, really. The usual, you know, subscribe to the newsletter. The books are available, they're on sale on my site. You just go to lebopule.co.za and you go to books and you buy there. It's online, seamless, to the point. You don't have to call me. You don't have to WhatsApp the author. We have long passed that stage. We are now in a modern e-commerce stage. So you want to sort of honor that. And I'm saying this because some people still do that. Hey, people still come on Messenger and say, how do I get your book? There's a link on my bio on all my social media. You click that link, you get everything that I do, from the school to my website, to my books, to my coaching services. Everything is on that one link. Okay, so I understand the attachment to inboxing someone or contacting someone, especially if you have their contacts. But let's do the e-commerce thing. Okay, with that said, let's take a little break and I will then come back and introduce you to Ma Sophia, Reverend T.
Who should join Stretch School? Anyone who is curious about how life works at a spiritual level and how it affects us daily. Anyone interested in the link between your spiritual self and human self. It is also for anyone battling with things such as bad temper, anger, bitterness, jealousy, money problems, and relationship dramas. Anyone who's tired of masks, pretenses, and mediocrity. Anyone who yearns to live a more authentic and more powerful life. If you feel like you are living a double life, then Stretch is for you. For more details, go to www.stretchschool.co.za.
All right, let me now introduce you to Reverend T. Ma Sophia, who is not a stranger to the podcast listeners because she is returning for the second time. The first time she was here, we had a conversation on femininity and the sacred womb. And that was episode 132. I would highly suggest that if you have not listened to that episode, maybe you want to start there. Because today's episode, even for me, hey, even if I say so myself, is we start out on the cloud. It's high, high, high Angkara high what? It's woo-hoo level. It's deep spirituality, but it's also understandable. You know, we do bring it back to earth. And we get very, very deep on this incredible thing called the yoni or the yoni system and understanding the yoni magic and why she's back. I mean, apart from the fact that it is by popular demand, I've been receiving some emails and some WhatsApps and all sorts of things that people want her back because she was that impactful. Apart from that, she is currently running a series called Your Yoni Magic. And I was saying to her, and I did say in the conversation as well, that if I was in Joburg, I would literally attend because of just the way she was explaining it. I mean, every day on Facebook, she'd explain what she covers and all that. And I thought, you know what? I actually would like her to come and just share some of that without obviously compromising her work because this is paid work for her. But if she could share enough so that if you like what you hear, you can actually attend one of these sessions. And I said to her, when I'm in Joburg, I will make sure that I attend if, you know, it so happens to be around the schedule that I am there. Because I think it's very, very important. So listen to the Divine Femininity and Sacred Womb episode first, if you have not listened to, if you don't know her at all. And I just want to read a little bit of her bio here. And also just go ahead and tell you who she is to me. Because to me, she's a fellow traveler. She is a fellow sister and a spiritual seeker. And in as much as we sort of do different things, because she's more of a specialist and she's a reverend and she's more of a preacher, you know, she preaches more than she teaches, if that makes any sense. I teach more than I preach. Not that there's two, one is better than the other. It's just the way we are, our disposition. I'm more of a teacher. I'm more of an A, B, C, D, E, and then you link it to that, while she's more of the intuitive, you know, and you'll hear it in the conversation. Reverend T, spirit just takes her and she just runs with it. And it is what I mean when I say we start at a very high spiritual point, but then we find a way to bring it to Mother Earth and to understandability and to teaching mode. So we start with her preaching mode and then we come to teaching and then back to preachy and then ganjalo, ganjalo. But it is an enriching conversation. So who she is, quick bio. She's a founder of Gathering of Waters Spiritual Movement. She's owner of and CEO of Beautiful Vibes, Conscious Sexuality and Womb Company. And like I say, to me, she is a sister and a fellow spiritual warrior or traveler. And what we cover, guys, we begin by unpacking what the Age of Aquarius is bringing. We do a juxtaposition between the Pisces age that has passed and the current Aquarius age. If you don't know what I'm talking about, may I ask you to please listen to an episode with Gogo Joy Mohami, because she unpacks what the Age of Aquarius is. We did it a few weeks ago, so you should just scroll down and find it. We start there, and then we unpack what devotion is, what it means to be devoted to God as a woman, the original understanding of devotion. And then in the middle of the conversation, we unpack the entire yoni magic. She brings it. I mean, she drops it for us. And there's a part where I share, you know, I share very personal stuff, but it's in the spirit of teaching and in the spirit of bringing it back to you. Because I'm a memorist. I write memoirs, which means I write about myself a lot. Part of me teaching, part of my embodying a teacher archetype means I'm going to share a lot of myself, which is why, you know, others will say that I am the money, because I am the tool and the vessel, if you know what I mean. So I share something very personal. I hope it's helpful. I hope it's not cringy, but I don't think it is. Even if it is, it is what it is, guys. And, you know, she unpacks what the yoni magic is. And I think this is going to be a blessing of a conversation. And may you find it in your heart to actually attend her courses and to find her and seek her out and sit at her feet and learn from her. Like I said, She's more of a preacher than a teacher. So the conversation is very preachy in the beginning. She is just whoying. She is just whoying through spirit. And then she comes back and then we have a conversation. We teach and teach and teach. And then she whoys again in preaching. So I'm telling you that to prepare you for the dance and just let it serenade you, let it bless you, and may you take something out of this because it is a gift of a conversation. Without much ado, I give you Reverend T. Ma Sophia.
Welcome to the Stretch Podcast.
Reverend T. Ma Sophia, priestess, is back by popular demand. Dumela tle mme, and I'm so happy that in a short space of time, when I ambushed you to come back to the podcast, you said yes. Unreservedly. So welcome back. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm very well, Lebo. I always say, hore, nako stretchy pela. Kutana lo hore kile dozi la ko, you know. If lo hore kabiti wako, kakibiti wako, kutko stretchy, ketake maata, you know. So thank you very much for inviting me. It's really an honor.
Yeah, no, I'm actually grateful because a lot of people, I'm yet to meet someone that I say, please come to the podcast. What generally happens, but generally everybody, it's like, where and what time for you, anything. So I think it's a gift I have and I appreciate it. I see it because, you know, it introduces me to powerful people like you. But before retoma, because today, honestly, I don't have a specific topic. I want you to be Reverend T. There's some of the most incredible teachings you've been doing. I've been watching you on your Facebook, both the group and the wall, that I think my listeners can benefit, you know, from. But before that, tell me about 2021. How did you enter the year? Can you believe it's March already? Like, wow, what the hell? Yeah.
Well, 2021 has been an amazing year for me so far, you know. And how can I so far? It is because I'm talking about the time that I have already experienced, you know. I know that it's going to be a great year because Spirit said to me that this is the year of mastery, you know. This is the year, Yahore, whatever it is that anyone has been learning, this is the year Yahoba a master, you know? And yeah, so that is 2021 for me. We are mastering.
No, man, that is so funny that you say that because with my team, the little team that I work with, this year we decided, Hor, we really just need to master the programs that I have so that I can just make way for new knowledge and new teachings in the new year, but literally be dedicating 2021 to mastering what we've already got. It's so funny that that's what Spirit has said to you. Now I thought it's just business. Yeah. Like, keep business, now we are mastering this. And it's actually in the ether. It's very interesting.
It's in the waves. Mastery is in the waves. And even, you know, as we put out the work, it is the work, only people who are ready for body masters, you know, will understand. Only those people, by the more banale tasi, banale a spark, yahubadi master, will understand. And you know, go mamete just now as we start, or you know, when you call people, people will always say yes to you, and you say, I acknowledge that gift, I acknowledge that. And you know, just when I catapulted what you just said, English, a Holy Spirit, okay? When you say I understand that gift, you know, I want you to understand it as your yoni magic. I want you to understand it as your alchemical presence. I want you to understand it as your medicine. So when people say yes to you, when people come and hook onto your energy, the yes, it is because of your alchemical presence, which is encoded in your womb, and it is supported by certain elements and certain directions. Well, understand that.
Mm-hmm. Shebili knows that because, like I said when I started, I want you to be a reverend. I want you to preach because I think you are in your element when you are there because I've been watching you. In fact, before we even had this conversation, I was watching your latest offering. I don't know if Giri Piri or the Piri and tables, but before that, a week ago, you had your Yoni Magic session. And yes, so yes. I want you to please talk on what exactly is Yoni Magic? Why do I attract so many people? Why do people say yes? And I seem to have Facebook from childhood. That runs away and hide. And people, friends would knock. And I would say to my mom, tell them I'm not here. And my mom was not playing that game. Like, hey, buy up food. So what is that? What is Yoni Magic? And I'm going to mute so that I can hear you properly.
Yes. So when we talk about Yoni Magic, as I said, that we are talking about the individual or personal energy signature, you know, personal energy alchemy, personal alchemical presence. Or when you come into the space, what is the medicine, you know, that it's within, you know, every woman has that, but it's just that women are not aware of it. So let's go to what you were saying when you say you want me to be a reverend and you want me to just flow. And, why Yoni Magic? Why it's important for us to be talking about Yoni Magic? Why is it important for us to know, to understand our Yoni Magic? That is because in the age that we live in, the age of Aquarius, the age where spirit wants to be one with humanity, with creation. So remember that we are from a Piscean age. When you look at that constellation, it is represented by fish. I give it to the fishes because the gutter fishes has the English right, okay? But it is represented by two fish, although it sounds strange to say that.
Fish.
Yeah, so it is represented by fish, you know, they two. And between those fish, there is a space. So that space in the Piscean age, when you go into the alchemy of it, that space was a space that was allowing a little bit of deception. You know, things could go, within that little space of Piscean age. But now in the Aquarian age, there is no spaces. We are in the waters. Spirit wants to be, God wants to be one with creation. We are no longer orphans, we are cut out from God, you know? We are no longer orphans, we just knew God from an external father or an external mother or external deity, an external thing, you know, because now we are in God. In Him, we live, we move, and we have our being now we are in God. Now, the importance of understanding Yoni Magic comes in a way, Yahore, women, the custodians of the womb, they have a right now. They have a right, or they their experience is validated.
Validated.
So remember, in the Piscean age, your experience as a woman was not validated, meaning that in order for you to connect with spirit, you had to go through the experiences of men. You had to read about men and their experiences, and then you kind of hook yourself there, and then that's how you would connect with God. But in the Aquarian age, Mother God is coming into experience. I said the rising of the feminine now. It's the experience of the feminine. Women's experiences, how you experience life, that is a very good platform that is validated for you to be able to connect with spirit. So when we talk about Yoni Magic, Rere, understand that your experiences. What have you been experiencing? Now understand your medicine. And from that, then you will be able to connect with spirit according to your experience, according to your experiences. You know, I was reading a certain scripture in the Bible, and understand, now when I read the Bible, I read the metaphysics of it, you know,
yeah.
I read the metaphysics of the messages, you know, that are written there.
Not the literalism
of the Bible, you know. So I was reading, you know, there was a scripture that says that do not be afraid of people who harm the flesh. Okay, and then it says, be afraid of people who harm your spirit. And then somewhere it says, why? Because you are the circumcision. So do not be afraid of people who harm the flesh, because you are the circumcision. You are the process. And I went to God and I said, Bona, now I'm a woman. I don't have the experience of circumcision. So this scripture, I really want to understand what it says for me, so that I'm able to connect with the metaphysics of it. And spirit revealed, you know, what does it mean? So in the platform, as you know, that I run a platform called The Gathering of Waters. It is that platform where we say, our experiences are valid. Our experiences are part of the process. Our experiences are part of our path and our journey in connecting with spirit. So womb awakening is actually a spiritual path.
Okay. Let's breathe. Let me breathe, because you've just dropped a lot of bombs, and I just want to go back to some of those and mix it up with what you said earlier in your Facebook Live. So when you speak of the Aquarius age, or it's no longer the rising of the feminine, it's actually being and the experience of the feminine, and comparing it with the Piscean age of that fish. The symbolism setting. The other one is the two fish who are sitting sort of like in a yin yang, because the face, you know, the other one's face is on the tail, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then the Aquarius is that feminine figure that's pouring out this water. Yeah. I think it is the water bearer, right? So yes. I'm thinking of the whole horizontal versus vertical that you spoke of. And I'm thinking the Piscean age looks vertical, because the fish is a lady parallel. And then the Aquarius is standing straight and with grace, and it's pouring that grace or that water. What does that water represent? And you have a thing called the gathering of water. What does that Aquarius water actually represent? Is it spirit?
It's water is spirit, you know. The Holy Spirit is represented with water or with oil. So the gathering, that is the gathering of spirit, you know, the gathering of waters. And I love what you are saying when you talk about horizontal and when you talk about vertical, because one thing about the Aquarian age, one thing about the experience of the feminine, is that women have to come back to their organic template, their devotion, which is vertical. So as women, we carry very high codes, that vertical devotion, meaning that our devotion is encoded in a way that it goes to God. Now, what we see now in the generation, in our generation, in the age that we live in, where we are pulled, you know, our pain body is pulled, especially in the space of relationships, you know, with male incarnates. It is because we have left the organic coding. We have left the organic coding, yeah, the vertical devotion, you know. And for years since I started the work, I've been calling women into the relationship space. Kerry, let's talk about relationships, you know, because now our devotion from being vertical, now you have a horizontal, and that became a shadow, you know. That became a shadow. You know how Obala the scripture, the holy scriptures, there, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, what is a wife? A wife is a woman who is already married to God. So when you find a woman who is already married to that principle, Yamudimo, that is masculine. So when you find a woman like that, you find a good thing. So the devotion, even the devotion that we are pulling out of our male incarnate, sorry, please, you know, came at that devotion, look my way. It is because, you know, we were cut from the organic template of woman, which is one, devotion to God, which is being devoted to the masculine principle. And what is the masculine principle? I'm not just talking about God, you know, because I know a lot of people banally are God wound, and when you say God, they shut down. So when I talk about, let's call it the masculine principle, you know, that that is God. Let's still call it God.
Yeah.
But in that masculine principle, there is mission and there is money. So women's devotion, okay, has to be vertical. It has to be hooked onto their mission. It has to be hooked onto their God. And their devotion also has to be hooked on the money principle. Because money is a king principle. Money, that's the only thing, Elongwara, when Master Jesus was here on earth, compared it to God. And we do not, you can't serve two masters. So devotion, when you start recalibrating your devotion back to its organic encoding, then you get to command, you know, you get to command because you become part of the Godhead. Now, wahona command, from your pain
from
body.
Okay, so again, I'm listening to you and I know exactly what you mean, but I'm also listening with the listener's ear.
I want us
to just break it down a little bit further, maybe take it down a bit. How do vertical devotion, that the feminine is organic or original thing was vertical? Are you talking about the fact that as Mosadi, as the feminine embodiment of the spirit, our original role was directly connected to God? In other words, we never really actually needed the church, and I put it in inverted commas. Is that what you're talking about, or what are you talking about?
Yes, definitely. Yes. I'm definitely talking about exactly that, you know. The woman is... You know, and when you talk about the church, it's amazing because also honali a thing called the Bride of Christ, and the Bride of Christ is referred to as the church. Okay. So as the Bride of Christ. So hoba a bride, go ba a chalice, go ba a cup, let's just a container, but I want to take it to Mother Earth, for instance.
Okay.
You know, land, and that's why women have to have that land consciousness. Yeah, uba seeded by spirit. So haribuaka hoka kereke and being the bride wena in as an individual. That's exactly what we are talking about. The consciousness of knowing that I am the land, not by myself, I am the bride, meaning that I am a fertile ground for God to seed into me. Now, with the rising of the feminine, that masculine principle, that seeds, you know, the sperm that seeds our creativity, Rayako, the goddess movement. So the thing about the goddess movement is not God, Kahari, because remember that God is mother and father, you know, there is the masculine and the feminine principle. So because of the God of patriarchy, we left God, the father, we left the masculine God, okay? And we went to the feminine god but the thing about that, the thing about the feminine movement, the goddess movement, is that somehow, and I say this because I am an advocate of
woman empowerment and feminine power. I know.
And the goddess, you know?
And the goddess,
Yes. But what I found about that part, that journey, is that, you know, there's something a short time, man. You know, there is something a short time in that movement. And to a short time in that movement is the seeding of the father. It is the seeding of the father, you know? As we understand and as we were in that path of the rising of the feminine, and now we are experiencing the feminine, now we are opening up to the father, you know, we are opening up to the father to say, now, now you seed us, you know, receive us so that we become co-creators. So we are not just a cut out from the other polarity of God, we understand. So we ask, that's why, Gary, you become the Godhead, you know? Become the Godhead, and that's where a term, ebaring heroes gamos come in, you know? When the marriage of the mother, the marriage of the father comes in, and then you become the child, you know? So the Trinity, you become part of Trinity, you become part of. So we are no longer fatherless. The father ordained, but it's not the father, an alien father, who was introduced to us when the real father, the organic source father, was stripped from us. You know, was stripped off from us. So it's not the alien father.
I'm really with you. I am talking
about source. I'm talking about source. God as source. And to get to the understanding of God's source, you have to penetrate everything that you've ever known about God. Even the names that were handed over to you. God, libitso la Modimo ke so and so, you have to penetrate and go beyond the names and just go and connect the source, you know. So that's that.
You know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking back to Gogo Joy Mohami's episode, which I think I told you before we hit record, that she spoke of the age of Aquarius. And I was asking her to explain what does the age of Aquarius mean. And she went on to just describe the most beautiful process of what exactly an age is, how long it takes and whatnot. But she speaks of what you spoke of now. In the beginning, and you know, when I say in the beginning, I'm talking mythical stuff here. The mother, the original mother, who is also the mother and the father, was overtaken by an alien masculine energy, which obviously became what we became, and the patriarchy and the rise of the false father, as you speak of. So I'm just marveling at how, you know, if you listen to Gogo Joy and I'm listening to you now, it sounds like you're coming from different spaces, but you're talking about Ndweyuan, which for me is almost the truth. It doesn't matter who's saying it from what angle. If the conclusion is the same, then I know for me you're talking about the truth. So yes, I know what you're talking about when you talk about the alien father. And you further said that we are no longer fatherless, which talks obviously to the age of Aquarius. It is the feminine age, but it is the original feminine age that incorporates the father. Now, see, I know this is your interview, but I want to just emphasize what you're saying. Now, this is why we are seeing new sort of movements that want to incorporate the masculine. Just last week, I had a conversation with Bongani Michael on Black men and Black love. And you won't believe what he said. And he said, no, I think it's time for Black men to take a step back and actually allow the Black woman to lead. Not a step back, submissive, but you know that weakness that men do, it's a snack. He's not talking about that. He's basically saying, let the feminine lead so that the masculine can restore himself back to God.
Can you believe a man said that? Anyway, now, do you want to say anything around what Epaparius means for the masculine, for Black men, or for men in general? What should men know about this age?
I want to touch on what Bongani Michael says when he says that men should step or should allow women to heal, you know, and to reconnect. That is because the planet that we live in is feminine, you know, and Mother Earth is healing herself right now. And because we are the manifest or the incarnates or the incarnates, you know, the female incarnates that represents that feminine principle. When Mother Earth heals, we are obviously called to do it. And nothing comes into this dimension if it's not through the womb. So it is the womb that will give birth to the divine masculine that we are looking for. You know, when women heal, when you heal and you understand your magic, when a man, a masculine energy comes into your life, into your space, it has no choice but to level up. Frequency of that masculine energy will level up to your frequency. Well, understand?
Wow.
So the law of resonance come in play when you are, you know, in relationships, and law of resonance just comes in play. And this is not to put pressure on women to say you must do the healing so you heal men. No. I'm talking about, you know, you know, I always say to people, listen to me from here, you know, from your soul star chakra. Listen to me from here, from Oudimukwa. I am saying that as we heal, because we carry the medicine, the womb carries the medicine. So when we start really going, and women have been healing, we've been having women's circles, we've been healing, and this is not to say that men should not do their part of healing, because also in them there is the feminine, there is the masculine. It's just that they are the incarnates, you know, the male incarnates, and they represent the masculine principle, you know. But it doesn't mean they have to stop. But at the same time, we are the women of the forefront, you know, we are in the forefront. We are in the
women of the forefront.
we are in the forefront. We are in the forefront. You know, when you read the Gnostic scriptures, they say there's a cortex there that talks about how a woman, Babelo, was the forethought of God. So before anything was created, a woman was the forethought. A woman was sent forth, you know, into existence. And that is how we have eternal life, because eternal life comes from that feminine, experience, or that feminine principle. You know, we can go deeper and deeper and deeper with this.
Yeah, I can. But I have a chance. So they can digest all this that we've covered so far, because it's quite intense. Now I would advise my listeners to listen to this twice. So let's bring it home now. Let's bring it to the understandable level, what we are talking about, because you mentioned something that I really liked, Afori. We need to, as feminine, the masculine must rise up to your frequency. And that brings us back to the yoni magic, because I think spirit limoya ungile wa wisa deepi. So ke batla re boye yoni magic, and in relationships in particular, because women love relationships. I mean, that's a very interesting topic.
Yes.
When you say, and I'll quote one of your Facebook posts when you were promoting your yoni magic sessions, you spoke of things like, if your body rejects your husband, or if your yoni does not respond to him, does not find him attractive anymore, what does all that mean? Because sometimes we don't know, you know, we just think, Wambora, but Khanti, there's something deeper that's talking. What's happening in the vibrational spaces of our yoni and our womb vis-a-vis our men in the in our lives? I hope I'm not being
unfair. Okay. No. It's okay. Let's say medicine. Let's say that we are medicine women. So let's so the womb, the yoni, the womb. Let me just talk about the space that is the womb. And when I talk about the womb, the yoni, I'm not just talking about the organ, you know. I'm talking about the yoni system in a woman. So the yoni system in a woman does not, it recognizes consciousness, okay? It doesn't recognize the labels. It doesn't recognize
status.
You know, all this status. It doesn't at all. So when you find who your yoni is rejecting someone that you have labeled, someone that you've taken vows with, or your husband, and your yoni says, no, I'm rejecting this man, it is nothing personal. It is just about consciousness, you know? And when I talk about consciousness, remember that a man's seed carries his consciousness.
Wow.
Okay? So if the yoni says, consciousness that is standing here in front of me.
Yeah. Sorry, that's funny. I don't know why that's funny.
I am, then there is spiritual work that needs to happen, because in the bedroom is a space of spirit, okay? There is talk about yoni worship. And in yoni worship, that is when a man aligns himself with the frequency or the vibration of the yoni of the woman that he is with. So, and when a man knows how to do that, or when a woman creates a space, I'm not in my space, my yoni is a worshipped yoni, you cannot just penetrate me until you are in resonance, or your frequency is in alignment with the frequency of my yoni. Then that woman is never penetrated, but entered. So here is something that women must know. Your yoni has got its own consciousness, and we have allowed ourselves to be penetrated. And penetration, every time penetration happens, it registers as violation to the yoni. Now, if you do not know yoni magic, if you do not know the consciousness, if you are not connecting with your yoni, you will never, you don't know the voice of your yoni. You don't know, you don't understand the frequency of your yoni. And then everyone that just comes in, your yoni is telling you, and it is reading, Hore, today, this is the medicine that this particular person that we are engaging with needs. And Utolo Hore, you are not aware. All you do is you over penetrated because or relationship. You see, your yoni doesn't understand that. And the thing about these violations, penetration, is that they create energy that sits in the pockets of our bodies, you know, and that energy, you know, in a violation, and then it just sits there. It's in you, it's in it's in you as a land. Remember, we spoke about the land.
About the land.
You know? So you are seeded. You are seeded by violation. And what happens is that violation that creates experiences that are in vibrational alignment. So crownal violation, somebody is taking your thing, somebody more violate. It is the clearing that you have to do, energetic clearing that you have to do in your space to, you know, to make sure, Hore, you don't experience such. Well, get knowledge, and people die because of lack of knowledge. People don't die because of lack of prayer or lack of fasting. They die because of lack of knowledge, you know? And it is in that knowledge, It is in that knowledge that we become still. You know, we become still in knowing that God is God. We don't become still in feeling that God is God. We become still in knowledge.
Without knowledge, my people perish. I want to go back to, you know, without knowledge, my people perish. But I want to go back to something you said, and I just want to bring it and make it personal a little bit. Without violating my partner's privacy, but I don't think I am. You know, when you speak of your own consciousness, Rev, there are weeks and there are times, and I think I shared this with you privately some time back, that there will be something that says, that my body says, and I'm going to say body because it's a whole system, I get, my body says, not this week, there's just no way that you are touching me, or not this time period. Yes, and I started digging because, like, I'm a student of life and I learn. I mean, as a teacher, your job is also to learn. And I just thought, you know, I want to study this pattern. I want to see why is it that there are times where the yoni is like, now, please, and ready and open and embracing of him. And there are times where it's like, don't even look my way type of thing. Yes, and I studied it and I discovered that it's when I feel that he is dropping the ball in terms of some of our agreements as a couple, but also his own stature. Like for example, when he's acting all weird and feeling defeated, like last year, COVID, where he was like crawling on the floor and acting all depressed because they got COVID. And I find that my yoni doesn't respond to men like that or to that type of. Am I making sense? Is this what we are? And I think what after knowing that, then I knew that, speaking of the medicine again, I knew what I needed to do with him, which I'm not going to share my secrets, but I know what he needs at that moment. And it doesn't take a lot for me to reactivate him to become the masculine that I know he can be.
Yes. So with that, Lebo, you know, Hore, when you have awakened your yoni and you are in this path, you understand that when you make love to a man, and I'm using the word make love because I want, so that people understand what you are talking about. So when you make love to a partner, when you make love to a man, you are not making love to them at a physical, at a formation male level, okay? You are making love to them at a very high sphere, you know? Oh my God. Okay, so this means that in that space, you are co-creating with his creator. Understand? When he has fallen off, you know, that space of masculine, consciousness, masculine will always want to engage or manage or control another masculine. So if you carry the king codes, because you cannot be in these platforms and be a teacher and stand in front of people if you don't have the king codes. So if you carry the king codes, you can only co-create with the king, you know? And if a king has fallen off, thrown your high because of circumstances, then there's absolutely no way a king, now you're gonna have to get off your throne and go Oloputa king so that you co-create. And that is why your yoni says, no, I can't. I cannot be able to I cannot be able to co-create in that space, you know, of collapsed masculine. In the space of collapse, I cannot be able to co-create. So when you understand
this is
yourself,
all spiritual. Yeah, you don't get this type of knowledge in J at a physical level.
No, not at all. Not at all. So there are other wombs, and you know, from what you're telling me, I know what this is. That's the womb that you are. Or your womb will reject any opportunity. Here I'm gonna be seated by a dead seed, then it rejects. Okay.
Yeah.
And no, this is nothing personal to anyone, but remember that that's why we talk about conscious sexuality, because you can have sex with the same person every day, but sex is different every day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's different every moment.
Hallelujah. You know? To that.
It is different every day. So when your yoni detects, hore, no, but it got the seed here. That is going to seed me, you know, it has dropped its king codes, then it will reject. It will reject that.
Yeah.
So, and that's why that Honorable, what I am working and pushing women into is to reconnecting with the masculine, you know, because it is your masculine that will call the type or the level of your masculinity will attract the same type of masculinity in your space. So look at the look at the masculine that is surrounding you. Look at the men who are in your space. Then I will tell you where your masculinity
you are.
Is.
Chair, I want to say something about my womb that you sort of touched on. Wait, it's you know, back in the days when we were still young and the whole idea of sex and sexuality, I think some few years back, you know, we have to do it. And I think also your work sort of started there. You know, you have to have it and have orgasm and all that. And I remember in one of my groups, Sastraj, sharing, now, honestly, in all honesty, sex has really never been a primary thing in my life, and I, without sounding like an angel, but I really just don't sleep around. It's something I've never really done. But now that you explaining what you're explaining, and also my own findings and knowledge, is that I do have that king womb. There's just no way you're gonna seed me, and it's at a consciousness level. And again, we're not judging anybody, in case people feel like maybe we are shame slutting or something like that. But the point, I'm talking personal stuff here, I've just never been drawn to having to have sex all the time, even with a partner, even with someone that I live with. It's always been something that I think I revered at a deep spiritual level. I just didn't know that I'm revering it at a spiritual level. I'm now getting it now. But, oh, my womb is very, very dominant. It's just been running the show. But now that I know, oh my God, the magic that happens in the bedroom.
The fact that you are not, you don't, you know, you don't, you're not a person who, you know, hey, let's have sex today. Let's have sex tomorrow. It doesn't mean that your sexual energy is low. You know,
no,
the potency of sexual energy, people who you know, who are in that space, you can do so much with that sexual energy.
I guess that's why I'm creating so many things.
Yes,
you can that's why I have all sorts of things. So
much. You can do so much, and also, you know, we have to grow up. Honestly, we have to grow up in a sense that it doesn't mean that every sexual edge that a person has, it has to be satisfied. You know, it doesn't mean because you have a sexual edge, then it means that you must find a way of having that
the release
and the genital orientated sex. I just want to release. We must grow up. We must really grow up. Sometimes when there's sexual energy, when your disc is flowing at a certain velocity, your disc, your sacral chakra, when it flows at a certain velocity, the inner speed, you sit in it, you know? Because you're an adult. You are an adult. Honestly, adolescent, I have to release. No ways. Yeah. So we create with this energy. Mm. But remember that we co-create Limudimu with that energy. This is where we must come back, because this thing that, you know, the new age has been teaching us, just take your orgasm and manifest with your orgasm outside God. People manifest with their orgasm. People manifest. But after some time, all those things, I don't know how many people, you know, have come and said, oh, you know, I was kokaikai and I was taught to manifest with my orgasm. But after that, here I am, I'm at ground zero again. That is because, you know, it was done outside the Christ architecture. It was done outside the God organic architecture, source architecture. So we have to come back to that. Once again, it sounded like we'll come back to God. Mary, yes, come back to God. That's exactly what I'm saying. Come back, come back. You know, come back with your wound, your God wound. Come back with your disappointment. Come back and know that the real God source is not Mudimwadi disappointment. It's the alien God. Adam Hore is a God of consumption. You know,
yes,
but in the organic structure, we are in the Christ Sophia, we are opening up ourselves to the original symphony, creation. We are opening up to the original color. We are opening up to the original sounds of creation. So we are now in that space. Consumption. No. We are here now.
Wow. You
Let's
know,
come back to God.
You are going to come back so we can really deepen in about sex and how we use that energy. But I just want to confirm, Hore, yes, indeed. When I do the sacral chakra lesson, I do say to them, Hore, sometimes when you are horny, when you are aroused, before you even do anything at a physical level, just ask yourself, Hore, what am I aroused for? What needs to be created? What do I need to create? What's happening? Journal about it. Sit a little bit. And then later you can always satisfy it. We're not saying don't have sex, people. We are just saying let's have conscious sex and let's have sex with people who are at our wavelength, guys, please. So I'm going to call you again so we can deepen on that. Now, because I see we are hitting our mark, I just want to talk about two more things and then I'll let you go.
Yes.
On one of your videos, you spoke of sitting on the table and spoke of Dipiri.
Yes.
Foxes. Okay.
Yeah.
In summary, because it just sounded so incredible. What was your message? What were you on about?
So, Dipiri comes from my experience of going to a funeral in the rurals. And when I got there, there were men who were, at the gate, the gravesite. Yeah. And these men were so much in, you know, they managed the funeral. You come at this time, you can't be late. And these men also were responsible for closing the grave, you know, after the coffin is, they were responsible for all of that. And, spirit started teaching me about these people, because when I inquired, so where do these people stay? Why Mosebetu Abwana Eli here by the graveside? They said, no, these people are our brothers. They are here in the community. They are part of the community. They, you know, part of their community, but their job is to make sure that when you die, you are buried. And spirit said to me, check your circle. You know, people, but they are rehearsing your funeral. People, but they are waiting for the day this one dies, I will be the first one to carry their coffin. People who will make sure that your grave, they make sure that you are buried. You know, and we have those people in our lives. They are our friends. They are our family. But giddy peer, you know.
Yeah,
so I was saying that as we do, because every month end, every beginning of every month, we have a 3-day midnight prayer, and this was one of the themes to say, Mudimo, open up our eyes to the peer so that we see them. And the following day, the theme was, now that we've seen the peer, we don't block them. You know, you don't subscribe to the cancel culture. Yahoro blocker, canceler. Yeah. You know why? Because peer or an enemy is an activation for a table based on the word that says, based on the scripture that says, You set a table before me in the presence of, my enemies. So we don't block people.
Wow, you know, without sounding like in Nike Morena Cheso, I've always kind of known or don't block. I'm not quick on blocking, but where I was coming from, which I think you're gonna love this metaphor. I'm a gardener now. I've returned to the land. I eat most of my green veggies from my own garden. So I learn a lot from the garden, as you can imagine. It's one of the biggest teachers. So I was looking at my garden and looking at the things that I'm planting, and without even understanding why, as you put your seeds, right, of cabbage, spinach, or whatever, there'll be weeds that I did not plant. The weeds will just grow, and they'll grow together with these things. And there's a Bible verse about that, which is but it is similar. No, let them grow together. When they are big enough, when you are strong enough, when your seeds or your plants are strong enough, then dikumule. But the whole theme is let them grow together. Skadi block. Don't remove. You know, activate.
Don't block, because those another thing about the weeds, ne? Or about the peer, or about enemies, is that sometimes they can even mimic you. They start mimicking. You look at the person and you're like, okay, but I don't see the work in you, but here you are mimicking. So the notion, a false prophet, it is a notion that runs across all spiritual platforms, even as we work, doing coaching, there are people who will mimic stretch, but that is the template of a false prophet, and we shouldn't even block your owner so that they don't see my work. It's fine, mimicker, but know that as you keep mimicking, as you keep working the children of earth, the children of God into your mimics, know that now on my side, tables are being set. Because you are there, tables are being set. Now your work will come with glory. Your work, it's about cherry on top, yeah, glory. So, and this is now I'm speaking to the healers. My grand would say, Now, this means that even when Mahota, principalities are roaring like lions, but we are moving forward. So Mahota ridikile, lebo, but Rinzeritualapil, Mahota arora, but Ronaritualapil.
We are not stopping, because that will activate the table that will be set in the presence of my enemies. I mean, that is just too powerful. Because
they are not lions. They roar like a lion. You understand? They are not lions. They just mimic the roar. Those are principalities. And the only principalities, they are an activation for tables.
I saw a quote recently on Instagram, because I spend a lot of my time on Instagram. I just find that energetically, there are very few vampires go Instagram. So for my sanity, it's great. Although Facebook is where my people are, or the masses are, so I'll never sort of cover it completely, but I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. So I saw a quote that says, oh my God, how can I forget the quote now? But she says, the quote says, don't worry that of being imitated and mimicked, worry when they aren't. And I'm like, start worrying when they stop, because then it means Auna spark is the thing you spoke of earlier. There's a word you used about of spark.
Class.
You
don't have,
classy, yes. Mm-hmm. And about mimicking again, one of my closest, one of my friends, Fusi, said to me, no, but Lebo, I can't copy stretch because I did not grow up in Alexandra. I did not have a child at 16. I did not have, so I explained that my journey and my path, or this is why I am able to create what I'm creating. So they can mimic away, but it becomes a mimic. Okay, that was a nice one. Last point, and then I'll release you. You mentioned in passing earlier about money being, it's a narking, it's a masculine thing.
It's a masculine, what are you talking about?
Can you unpack that for us? And I promise you, I'll let you go.
So money is a masculine principle, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when we have to come, from the goddess movement to be seated, because one thing about the goddess movement is that you become a you know, one of my teachers call it slave girl. You know, you become a slave girl over there, how natural, but you are busy got the chakras, you are busy got the, but there is no money. Why? Because you are not seated by a masculine principle. So you become over there, you are busted, and then you do the goddess work. But because you are not seated, you are not able to bring a child. You are not able.
Producing anything.
You're not producing. I understand. So when I say money is a masculine principle, during our conversation here, I said consciousness will always manage and control another consciousness. So when your consciousness, which is conscious, remember that we have consciousness and essence, okay? Mm. Consciousness is masculine, essence is feminine. So we will always have the creator and creative energy. Okay, so if Elohore, the creator energy is encoded in you and it's stabilized and it is strong, it will always call other kings. So your masculinity will always call other masculinities. You know, it will always call another masculinity, to call money, it will call men, the right men who are at the right level of masculinity. Understand? This on its own needs us to sit and have a podcast. From the feminine way of manifesting, you know, when I did the money coach, people who teach about money, who say, no, you just receive, you just receive, you receive and you open up, you receive. That is the feminine, you know, as the feminine, you just receive. Yes, you receive, but at the same time, you are able to stand in your masculine and command. Because of the disappointment, also the God wound ends in disappointment, people are not even are afraid to ask. They are afraid to command. They are afraid to say, I want that, and I am calling that into my space, and even calling it from the quantum levels. So I understand. In this Aquarian age, you know, we have to heal from the quantums. We have to heal our avatars. We have to heal and understand that, you know, as we are now in our physicality, we are like a toe of everything that's happening, you know? We are like a toe of the totality of who we are, you know? From source, you know, from to the monad, you know, to awareness, to multi-awareness, to the avatars, too, until we remember in our physicality. So when you understand, hamosoto are dumelanga, and everything that you are. But when you are only recognizing yourself as just a physicality, as just a woman, or as just a man, you know, you are big Lebanat.
I'm thinking of Bedi culture where they say bom. They're referring to one woman, but they know at the deep spiritual level they're talking about all the mothers that came before this mother, etc. Next time we are going to talk about this quantum physics, because I'm deep into that. I'm learning a lot about that, and I also picked up on your video for she's also there, because you spoke of quantum physics speaks of a thing does not remains whatever it is, and then the moment it's observed, it changes. Because
yes.
So yeah, I want us to sort of unpack that in terms of our work next time you come. Now, final words. It's 2021. We are in a new month. I mean, it's the beginning of the month as we speak. It's March. What would you like human beings right now to understand? Where should their attention be? What should they actually invest in? And yeah, just your final words and then we can wrap it up.
So my final words to humanity is that, and humanity, I'm talking about the collective. My final words is that, you know, we've been reading about archetypes. We've been working and, you know, looking at archetypes as mirrors of our devotion. And the one archetype that I want to speak about here is Magdalene. The other one here is Jesus. Those people were mirrors of our devotion. And that is why, you know, you will understand the statement, Jesus, when he says, you will do these things and more. You know, you will do what I do and more. Because he understood himself as an archetype, but he also understood that you can surpass the archetypical level, you know, by connecting with the Christ in you, by allowing yourself to be a Christed soul. That is how you get to surpass the archetypes. So religion had put us at a level of archetypes, I understand. But in spirituality, in the spirituality, in the Aquarian age, we are called deeper into the waters. We are called deeper into our Christhood. And now when a soul is Christed, a soul is able to take direction from the I am in that particular soul. Remember, I spoke about the different levels of who you are. So the I am, the God in you, is able to then seed the Christed soul, and your action and your movement is influenced by that. Now, when you have connected to the I am, even the cosmic God will be able to respond to the I am in you. You understand? So that's my message to humanity. As we learn, as we talk, you know, I run a priestess training thing, ne? And I always say that these archetypes that we learn about, they are archetypes. They are just showing us our devotion, you know, our journey of devotion, you know. When we look at planet Venus and ushaba di patterns sayona, right now Venus is in the underworlds, okay? And when you look at pattern of the rose that Venus actually creates in her patterns as aya underworld, aya aba morning star, aba evening star, you are able to see that pattern also in the 8 initiations of Jesus. And now that becomes a mirror to your devotion and your initiation. So let's get at the threshold, because the threshold, it means that now we're just gonna have the threshold, you know. Let's look up. Our devotion, high the vertical, let's look up and let's keep spiraling. And bringing things that are in the darkness, let's bring them up to light.
To the light.
Yeah. I never stop. I'm not a rooty pair like a preacher.
I know. I'm just laughing so hard. But anyway, speaking of archetypes, interestingly, I finished teaching on archetypes in my current group. And for masters, I'm taking the archetypal lessons to another level. It's so funny that you understand that archetypes can be evolved. It's an archetype, but it evolves into something else.
Yes.
Hence, Jesus said, they will do these and more. Anyway, what are you up to now? Are there any programs that you are doing that listeners might just maybe hook on? Or should we just contact you?
Okay,
because
so
are on the show notes.
Yeah, so the Yoni Magic series or events are gonna carry on, you know, by popular demand, of course.
Yeah, so no, I would be there if I was in Joburg, I could attend. It looked amazing.
Yeah, so we are planning another one on the 27th of this month. There's going to be another one. And also, I am in the space level where I no longer do public. I'm in a space where I now mentor leaders. I mentor coaches. I mentor people who stand in the forefront, you know. So there are programs that I'm running for. You know, for healers, you know, for instance, how to hold a spiritual circle, you know, where I have a priestess training, which is amazing, you know, for those women who are called in the path of the womb, you know, women and men, because now we've started with priests. You know, there are priests who are called, who have a calling, but their calling is not a calling yabo sangoma, because remember that as Black people, once obali a calling or obali a gift, but it's a maloba sangoma. It's not everyone. No, it's not everyone who is a sangoma. So I have that program also running. I have other things that are coming up. So I would just say to the listeners who are keep following.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Unali newsletter.
I can a newsletter. Wait a time. I must learn from you.
Yeah, no, get on with the program. It's the best thing you can ever do, so that you don't have a lot of reliance on social media.
Yeah.
Most of my programs, I don't advertise them on social media anymore, because I have a newsletter community that responds well. Anyone who clicks a newsletter and subscribes, they are at your masculine frequency.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Reverend. Reverend T, I need to let you go. Otherwise, as you say, so you will return. I know they will be blessed by this conversation. And I thank you for coming again.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And remember, Hore, I hope it's a fella, you know. And maybe it's your womb energy.
Yoo, that part of the piri. Oh my goodness. How did that land for you? I will lay the table in front of your enemies. Oh my God, Reverend T. Yeah, no, you do the things. And again, guys, you know, as a woman, like, I mean, the personal thing that I shared about how my womb operates, or my womb energy, as Reverend calls it, a king womb. It is the king womb. I remember I would always say to my students, every time I would take my students to a retreat, I would go on a period, like literally, and I would find that everyone else goes on a period. And I would always ask that, is anyone on the period? And a few of them would be. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I'm the alpha womb. Yeah, so it's something that I have come to accept, that, yeah, there is a strong masculinity in me. And strong masculinity doesn't mean the other things, guys. It just means energetically I have the power to command, because masculinity commands. Masculinity is first. And I will bring another guest to speak deeply about masculinity. Another retainee. Remember him? Itumeleng. He's going to come back to unpack masculinity even further, so that you understand it as an energy. But yeah, watch yourselves, guys. Watch how you respond sexually to your partner. Who do you respond to sexually? Just listen to your body. Don't go with your head. Don't go with the fact that therefore you need to give off of your powerful yoni system and yoni magic. Feel into it. Let it talk to you. Let it guide you. Let your womb be the guide. You will never ever go wrong. And also, this is why rape is such a deep violation. It is a spiritual violation. And this is why people who rape, according to Bongani Michael last week, are soulless. I don't know if we recorded it. It was on the recording, but it was definitely in my conversation with me, that you can only murder and rape if your spirit is missing. So you can only rape someone if you are not spiritually sound. You know what I'm saying? And rape is the biggest violation to women, which is why it's such a weaponized things in wars, and whenever people want to take over a particular nation or a particular tribe, they would rape the women, because they know they destabilize everything if they go through the womb. So these things are deep, and I'm going to be giving you and bringing you more topics like this. And I'll also be giving you and bringing more topics that are regular, you know, where we talk about parenting or we profile some celebrity. Get used to that and listen to everything. That's how you stretch. Listen to everybody. Don't look at an episode and say, I think Sonia Booth is not going to inspire me, and you move on. You'll be surprised. You will be pleasantly surprised. Okay, with that said, I will see you next week with another incredible woman. Oh my God, I love my job. I really do. Oh, I love my work, because it's not a job yet. I get a job is the one that pays. This is my work. I love my work. Until next time, love and green lights to you as always.
Thank you, and see you again next week for another episode of the Stretch Podcast.